Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need an intro tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special Thursday edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. How many times have we told you that we're going on vacation, but we keep coming back. We keep coming back. But I'm your host, Weathermoat, the King of King himself, and the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, who I told him not to bother me with let me enjoy my vacation, but this time I'll book him for tonight. He is the one, the only.
It is Sean Black once again in the building. Apparently, I can't leave the building because the world keeps bringing us back to the building. So,
you know, anytime we turn around, something's happening. I'm like, come on, really, guys?
But the crazy part about all of this is we're the closest thing that a lot of people have to current event news and opinions. So,
you know what? You're absolutely right. We try to give you the best of both worlds. Because that would make this format of the show so damn good. Just to prove it, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for last Monday night show. It was one of our highest rated show of the year, of this year so far. Congratulations, Sean. Something about talking about white people hating us. You know, people want to listen.
Apparently.
You know. Well, the number to call in your thoughts, questions, or comments, or to vent out. It seems like Everybody's on up. The number is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402.
Good grief.
You cannot piss people off anymore because we have your Trump for that. But before we get into Trump, I want to talk about a little bit about what happened today in Spain, Barcelona. Of course, our thoughts and prayers to the family and the victims out there. What is going on, Sean Black? It seems like lately the van is the biggest weapon to use now. People keep getting run over nonstop.
Yes, and we're going to draw parallels from what happened here to what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, during the course of this show. And you'll see where we go with this. We'll bring that up. Just a curious point to bring up early on the start of it. Earlier today, and I text you about this to see if you found out what was going on earlier this morning or sometime this afternoon around the time that it happened. And it was like, yeah, this is all over, you know, I heard about it, but this is all over the news. Apparently, a driver or drivers took a van into a very crowded area in Barcelona and drove it right into a bunch of people. And when I say drove into people, we're talking about a few hundred people that were there at all in an area called Las Ramblas, which is a very, very densely populated, famous area in Barcelona. And I know about that because my mother and grandmother years ago took a trip to Europe and went there to Barcelona, and they were in that area. And they said it was really lovely, lots of people there, although a lot of them speaking Spanish. And if you're English-speaking and you don't understand Spanish, it's very easy to get lost and not know where you're going or what you're doing. But a very beautiful place. There's a lot of cafes in that area, a lot of foot traffic. And apparently, because of what happened, over 100 people were hurt. 13 people are confirmed dead. And this is the kind of chaos that's been going on I believe ISIS took responsibility for it. Either they took responsibility for it or they acknowledged that this is something that they applauded. Mm-hmm. We've been hearing lots of attacks like this happening when it comes to vans or vehicles being driven into the public.
Excuse me, Sean Black. I have to give a shout out to this guy right here. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Brother B in the house right now.
Hey there, Brother B.
Hi there. I'm just listening right now. What's up, Sean Black? Hot Rod. Who else is on?
No. That's us three for now. There'll be more on the way.
Yes.
Oh, okay. No problem.
And definitely, Brother B. You're going to like where we take this show today from where we're starting to where we go to in the next topic. So you'll understand where this is going.
Listen, I got my bags packed. I packed my bag before I called. So I'm ready. I have my beer. I got some E&J upstairs. Like, let's get it. Let's get it popping. I'm here. I'm here.
Now, the sad part about this whole deal today is the fact that there was so many loss of life. We know that this was a terrorist act, as the Spanish police were very quick to bring that up, that this was pretty much a terrorist attack. Very quick, very on point, and as we said before, 13 people dead. The prime minister, the Spanish prime minister, called it jihadi terrorism. So he was very quick into stating that that was the case.
You sure it was not the neo-Nazis or the KKKs or the Confederate flag members down there in Barcelona? You never know.
If you believe the president of the United States, who basically went literally, I believe, 45 minutes after the attacks happened, he went to Twitter and said this: the U.S. condemns the terror attack in Barcelona, Spain, and will do whatever is necessary to help. Be tough and strong. We love you. That was the tweet that was made today by the President of the United States.
Number 45, he responded quicker to something that happened abroad compared to something that happened domestically.
Exactly.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so perfect example. Here's my first question. Compare the two comments. And, of course, he responded quickly. Are you still more upset from his first remarks on Saturday or the second remarks that he made in New York, or what he said about that both sides are at fault for what happened in Charlottesville?
I think the first shot that he made, the Saturday, which was literally 2 days after the attacks started happening in Virginia, was offensive in the sense that, one, he made no effort to call out the groups involved. He made no real effort to espouse blame as to where it was coming from, or the groups involved, or the victim that was killed. None of this was brought up on Saturday. Monday was the day that he came out and he had his big press conference, which was kind of like a redo, a mulligan, if you will, about how he should have addressed the American people on Saturday. The problem is Tuesday, which was the quote-unquote press conference that he did at Trump Tower in New York in front of the people, in front of the media, which seems to be his kryptonite. He basically went on after he was asked by the media if he thinks that what happened down in Virginia was, in fact, a terrorist act. And his quote is, as I'm going to juxtapose the comment that he made in the tweet to what he said Tuesday. "Well, I think the driver of the car is a disgrace to himself," speaking of James Alex Fields, the person that drove the car into the crowd of people in Virginia. "He is a disgrace to himself, his family, and this country. And that is, you can call it terrorism, you could call it murder, you can call it whatever you want." He never really went and said what it was. He never even really got into calling it what it was until he was pressed. And then what makes it worse is that he doubled down and continued to go back on what he initially stated Saturday, which was there was many things that happened on both sides, and reiterated this over and over again, and then really got upset. So,
okay.
Go ahead.
No, our executive producer just texted me that the Tiki Torch company responded quicker, denouncing the attack than Donald Trump did.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing? But we don't have too much time tonight. Brother B, you have a lot to say. I know. You've been holding your breath for a few days now.
on social media. You've been exploding. This is the time. What is your thought about Donald Trump? And also, are you surprised by this? And do we deserve this? Because people elected Trump to be in office.
Oh, gosh. Like I said, you know, Sunday night is
Pepto-Bismol, my friend. We're all going to get heartburn.
Yo, it's just crazy because, like I said, you know, when I do the show on Sunday night, I got really a lot to say. But I'm going to say some here. Listen, this is white trash with money. He's not a president. He's a so-called businessman. His father or his grandfather was probably more successful at doing the business than he is. He's just trying to fill the shoes of a legacy bigger than him. He was given this job because no one really could do the job after Obama. I mean, it was 8 years of just normal stuff, besides all the racist attitudes and everything else that was going on. I mean, we saw escalation in, you know, people who wear badges killing unarmed black men and women, but racism been going on. Right now is just something that's being recorded and put on social media, so we're being made more aware of it. But
are we aware of this, or this just open up our eyes again, reminding us that racism is still here?
It's an ugly reminder, but it's being recorded now. See, before it wasn't being recorded because you didn't have somebody walking around with a camera phone. Now you got camera phones. I mean, look at the Alton Sterling thing. There was somebody sitting in the car watching the whole situation, aiming their camera phone at these two cops, pump shots into this dude's body, and just, like, roll around and not say anything. Everything is just so blatant now. There's an obvious double standard in which no one is really saying too much about. I said it before, and I'll say it again. The House Negro is the most dangerous to the progression of black people, period. And the fact that you have so many that's more concerned about Colin Kaepernick taking a knee during the anthem, in which it's blatantly racist, because, of course, they cut the third part out because they was like, oh, wait a minute, we can't say that. But you're not concerned about the fact that number 45 is just not saying anything about anything. I just find it very interesting how the Jews have been very quiet, because, you know, a lot of those white boys were chanting, you know, the Jews will not replace us, but they've been very quiet. A lot of swastikas, a lot of neo-Nazi stuff, but they've been very quiet. And they're quiet for a reason.
You know,
because
I like to quote that.
They're not going to feed into it. They're not going to feed into it. And my whole thing is, I was going to save this for Sunday, but no, I'm going to just drop the bomb today. Every black person needs to mind your goddamn business. Let these white people who wanted these ignorant white folk, that part of town, because I don't have a problem with white people at all, but ignorant white people like that, let them fight this out amongst each other. Because now this is the biggest race bait of all. They're trying to bait us. They're trying to get us to react. Because did you see any of them white boys get arrested? Any of them white girls get arrested? No. But let your black ass go over there and start protesting against them. You're going to be the one that gets shot, and you're going to be the one that's getting arrested. So they got them cops, them three hots in the cot ready for you. Not for them, for you. Black people, mind your goddamn business. Let them fight this out. The first time they promised you freedom to help them fight their war. Now you got your little bit of freedom. They can't promise you anything. Let them do this on their own. Let them weed themselves out. They've already shown how savage they are. They've already shown their attitude. What more do you need to see? Listen, get your own backyard together. They already unified. Whether they fight each other or not, they already unified. Mind your goddamn business and do your own damn thing right now. And Trump, listen, he's about his business. He's glad right now that nobody is putting their nose further into his business, whether he's being under investigation or something else is going on. He's just glad that the heat's not on him right now.
Okay. So Sean, a response to Brother B, and also, do you think President Obama and Bush and Carter and Clinton should say something about this as well, or should they just mind their own business and let Trump do his thing?
Well, Trump right now is basically boiling in his own stew. And what we're starting to see is his own party, the Republican Party that are around him, they're the ones that are starting to add wood to the fire and letting him burn, because now they're not trying to put this out. And a lot of people are looking at it as a quote-unquote a responsibility of past presidents, especially past Democratic presidents, to come in and maybe quell a lot of the noise. I think the longer that this pulls out, the longer it's going to be that you're not going to hear something from President Obama or anyone else. And President Obama actually put a quote from, I believe, Nelson Mandela, and that was the first, the most tweeted, the most liked comment on Twitter of all time. He got something close to 3 million likes. I don't think that they feel the need has to come from them. I think the need has to come from within the effective party, which is the Republican Party, because they're the ones that are going to bring more stock to whether Trump is quote-unquote taken out from his position and resigns or quits or whatever he does to get away from the situation. If this continues, as we've seen all the fallout, the Dow Jones fell almost 300 points today. And that was mostly because of Gary Cohn, who actually is the director of the National Economic Council. They have a feeling he's going to resign. Remember that infrastructure stuff that Trump was talking about on Tuesday that he was supposedly talking about bringing? That's what his initial reasoning for his press conference was before he went off the rails. There was supposed to be a council that was going to be formed, and he was supposed to bring that up and talk about that. That was completely disbanded before it even got started. And the reason why? Way too many people are deciding to just cut bait and run with this guy. There is a real trickle-down effect with what the president has done, his words, his non-action, and what's going on around the rest of the world.
All right, Cato is in the house now. So, Cato, now it's your turn to say what's on your mind. Also, do you think Donald Trump will make things better in the future, or you think this is like a first-time mistake, or you think he doesn't care at all? But what's on your mind?
Well, hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing, first up?
What's going on?
Well, second, hey, all I got to say is this, is that, listen, things that Donald Trump already showed that he doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care. And you could see that he doesn't care because, let's remember, Saturday, his response Saturday, what did you expect? How did you expect him to respond? He kind of said, oh, it's both sides. And Monday he gave a scripted speech, teleprompter, and then after, when he comes back to his tower, his multi-million dollar tower, he goes ahead and blames both sides. He says that, oh, there were peaceful neo-Nazis that the left was attacking. And Brother B, I have to agree with you on that one. We need to mind our own business. And we need to focus on ourselves. We need to build it. Because under this Trump presidency, you see what's going on. He doesn't care. Like I said Monday on the show, when you light a stick of dynamite, it is bound to explode. And what Trump did was fire up his brand. Now, race as the question as to racism. Racism is something that's never going away in this country. Remember what this country was built on. It was built on racism. In all fairness.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question that came up from Jose. I was saying this question to Brother B first. He asked, are you one of these people who believe should get rid of American history due to racist roots, the Confederate flag, Confederate statues, and so on? If so, why? So tell me, this is what started the whole mess of getting rid of Robert Lee statues. Now you have other people destroying statues right now. Is basically, would that do anything? calm things down or make things worse?
First of all, how are you going to get mad? Listen, that's the problem. People don't learn from their past mistakes. The situation, except for the indigenous people of this country, everybody else is an immigrant. But we know that, and we already said that. Why are you still trying to hold on to your bullshit story? So you came over here as pilgrims. Oh, you sat down and had Thanksgiving. No, you didn't. You came over here, you brought disease, and you tried to kill them all off. Don't try to switch up the story, you know, in the meantime, because, you know, they're trying to switch up the story with us. First, we were slaves, and now all of a sudden we came over here as immigrants. Stop it. You're holding on to a bunch of what, statues of goddamn traitors? So if you value traitors, then that means you, I mean, really? Come on now. You can't say this whole thing is about statues, and you can't say the whole thing is about white people are concerned about white men being concerned about being replaced. Ain't nobody replacing you, homie. You just feel threatened because you ain't doing your job. The same way that you wasn't doing your job when you chose to go get slaves to go build this country for your lazy ass, you should have been doing it in the first place. Stop looking for somebody to do the job that you need to do your goddamn self. These cats is lazy, these millennials is lazy, and they think everybody's supposed to do something for them. So what, you want to run around and talk about a goddamn statue? They don't even know the history behind the swastikas, behind the statues, behind the flag, but yet they want to support something because they feel the white is right. Shut up. Just shut up.
Okay. I just finished pooping myself right now thanks to Brother B. So, Sean, what is your thought about that question?
My thought about that question is it's a pretty good question. There's a reason why statues and plaques, they show you a capsule part of time. But like other things that happen in history, important pieces of history, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, belong in a museum. They do not belong, especially when it comes to horrific, horrible times in our history. When you look at slavery, when you look at lynchings, when you look at injustice, when you look at things that have happened, atrocities around the world, and I'm talking about the Holocaust, I'm talking about slavery, those big atrocities worldwide that have happened to a particular race or a creed or a religion, the horrible atrocities and the people that have been involved, if they have statues, plaques, etc., they are in either museums or they're talking points in some place where you can reflect on where we have come from that point.
So basically saying it's good to learn our history and what happened in the history and try not to repeat our history.
Exactly. And Trump is not coming from an idea of, well, we need to come from this and learn and praise it. You gotta remember, Donald Trump is a person who seems to love the idea of tough guys that go out there and do the thing, because all he talks about is winning. There is no right or wrong with Donald Trump. There's winning and losing, and he's used that in his business life. He's used that in his personal life. He's used it in his professional life, and now he's using it in his political life. The problem is,
but he's not a tough guy.
What
he's
was
not
that?
A tough guy. He's not a tough guy.
He's not.
Like,
he's
the little puppy dog.
All he is
behind somebody. He's the little puppy dog behind.
All he does, this is what he does. Donald Trump is a media whore. He loves being in the spotlight. He loves going on social media. I have never seen someone who was elected president love to go on social media at any cost. He's quick to go on there to run his big mouth. Now,
excuse me, K-Dog, what's wrong with that if it's working? And once again, no matter despite what's going on in this world, technically speaking, we put him in power. We put him in this place, right?
That's what I was about to say. This is who America voted for. You voted for someone, number one, who has no political background. Number two, he has no military background. This was
not all of America. Not all of America voted for him.
That's true. No, no, I know that because Brother B, remember what I said before, and I say it again. When this fool got elected, yes, I said fool. Remember, 46% of Americans did not vote in that election last year. I'm not even going to mention any candidates or anything like that, but take a look at it. 46% of Americans chose not to vote. So this is the result of not voting. This is the result of staying home on election day, and the wrong candidate got in. This is who they voted for. Yeah.
I got another question, and Brother B saw this statement earlier. He knows what I'm talking about. No white person alive today ever owned a slave. No black person alive today ever was ever a slave. We can't move forward if people want to keep living in the past. Brother B, repeat what you told me earlier from that.
Listen, who was the ones out there in Virginia? There wasn't a whole bunch of black people with tiki torches. We've been threatened since the day that we got here, man. It wasn't us. It's not us that feel threatened. Apparently, it's somebody else that feel threatened, these little white, ignorant millennials. Like I said, not all white people are bad. You'll never hear me say that. Because I know a lot of Caucasian people who have great hearts, and my thing is I don't even see their color. I just see who they are. But see, then you have some out there who just want to bring attention to the colors. Like I said, who was it out there? It wasn't us. It wasn't us holding on to a past that, like you said, none of them owned slaves. So why are you concerned about keeping up a damn statue by somebody who wanted to fight to keep blacks enslaved? What are you really saying? You're ignorant, man. A lot of these cats are ignorant. All them little tiki torch, dumbass. What's the dude call them? Dorm room dumb fucks. That's what they are.
Yeah.
That's what they are. You out there fighting for what? And the neo-Nazi. Didn't a lot of Americans lose their lives to go over to Germany and fight the Nazis?
Of course. So what the hell are they doing here?
Well, like you said, most of these people don't know their history. And maybe they sat down and learn their history.
Can I say something real quick? Before I just step off for a hot second? Listen, some of these Caucasians don't get it. Hitler would have killed you too, because you weren't the race that he was talking about. You weren't the master race that he was trying to build. Hitler would have killed your ass too. It wasn't just the Jews. It wasn't just the blacks. It was your ass too. It was the Americans. So don't really think that you under that umbrella of white power. No, not you, jackass. Now, okay, I'm done.
Let me bring something that a lot of
hold on, hold on. I gotta give it to K-Dawg. I'm sorry, Sean.
Yeah.
Let me give it to K-Dawg first.
Well, you see, this is what's going on now. You know, I mean, in order to understand your present and where you're going in the future, you've got to remember the past. You've got to look at what happened in the past. There's no question about that, because the past is what shapes up the present and affects the future. Because look at it this way. And Brother B, remember we had this conversation off air. We had a conversation like on Monday. No, yeah, Monday we had a cool conversation. And am I going to say that all white people are racist? No, because that's not true. I'm not going to say all white people are racist. There's some people out there with good hearts. But at the same time, when you have these ignorant idiots with their tiki torches and going around preaching all this stupidity, and now you want to, you're a fanatic of the Nazis. I mean, what's so fascinating about the Nazis? What is so fascinating about them?
Okay, well, Sean? Oh, I got
to
give it to Sean.
To go into what you talked about as far as history goes, this is something that Donald Trump probably would not have known, because he really doesn't care about history. He's into symbolism. A biographer who actually wrote a book on Robert E. Lee said that this was written in June of 1866, and this is coming from Robert E. Lee himself. As regards the erection of such a monument as is contemplated. My conviction is that, however grateful it would be to the feelings of the South, the attempt in the present condition of the country would have the effect of retarding instead of accelerating its accomplishment and of continuing, if not adding to the difficulties under which the Southern people labor. The reason why he said that, Robert E. Lee did not like monuments himself. And he stated that was about Thomas Stonewall Jackson getting a monument in 1866. And Robert E.
Wow.
Lee himself did not care for monuments himself. This is coming from Jonathan Horn, who was a biographer that also worked with PBS when they did Confederate history and they brought that up. So for those that don't understand where all of this romanticism with Robert E. Lee is coming from, President Trump had actually invested money in certain funds and areas that would help replenish statues in public areas. The fact that people are tearing them down is what's basically pissing him off. But if he was to read and actually have some sort of history behind that, he would know that this is not something that even Robert E. Lee cared for to begin with.
Okay.
Because of the reasons that we have here, that all it's doing is reminding everybody of the pain that all of the stuff that happened during the Civil War brought.
Okay, excuse
and
me.
Even
after the Civil War. I'm sorry, I got 10 minutes left. I got to give to Max. Max, you're on the air. Go ahead. Then I got to go to Philip right after that. Go ahead, Max.
Oh, good evening, guys.
Hey,
I didn't expect the show to be on. I was surfing around the net, and I'm like, oh, snap, you guys are on the air. So let me just give a... No, the only thing I could add is, like, you know, most of you guys know I have a house in Pennsylvania and out of town. So when I go over there, I deal with a lot of people over there, and especially there's a lot of Trump fans in out of town Pennsylvania. And there's a lot of Dominicans also in out of town. So I was, during the election, I was actually in out of town. And during that election, there was a lot of them at the bar was wearing the Trump hat that said, Make America Great Again. My thing is, as the election was finished and I was leaving, a lot of the Trump supporters were beefing and happy about the fact that they could claim back their territory in Allentown because they felt the Dominican took over their town and pretty much made it actually productive, because Allentown was like a ghost town. Most of the whites were on K2 drugs. They lost their jobs. Most of the steel mills and the factories closed down. And so basically Dominicans, they came in and they actually made it productive and made it strong. And they made it real productive and they brought in more people into the residence. And now what I'm seeing here, most of those whites that I spoke to, they endorsed their money to Trump. And some of those whites that did endorse are alt-white. They're part of that movement. And they felt that if the LGBT did the same for Obama, they feel they could do the same for Trump.
Mm. Wow,
so they bond together. They bond together, and they secretly,
wow,
privately have meetings to endorse and put money for Trump. That's why you won't see Trump secretly, you know, publicly bash them and bash their leaders, because he can't, because they invest on him.
And money
well,
talks.
Max.
And hold on,
well,
hold
Max,
on,
can I add something?
Hold on, I gotta give it to Phil. Only got like 10 minutes left. I'm sorry, Phil.
Okay.
What do you need to say?
Hey, the Jewish guy's in the house. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I wanted to say, when I was listening to you guys, as far as the Jews staying out of it, the area of Charlottesville and where I am, I'm only 2 hours from there, so it's really, there's really not a heavy Jewish population in this area at all. It's just very, very small. And when these protests were happening on Saturday in Charlottesville, I mean, if you're a real religious Jew, you ain't going to be at a protest on Saturday, because Saturday is the Holy Sabbath, at least for the Jewish people. But I think from what was being said, the Jewish people will mind their own business unless we were being brought into it.
Well, you were brought into it to a certain degree with a march and everything. That's why you have Nazis over there, right?
I just think it's a touchy situation. I mean,
You put up a Nazi flag or a swastika anywhere, whether it's 2 miles from any community, it's a threat. No matter Jewish, black, whatever, it's a threat. And my whole
it
thing
is that's
the Jews, the Jewish people are so united, and so much got their stuff together. I'm just surprised that they have nothing to say. But then at the same time, I'm not surprised because you know what? It's not their fight, and I applaud them for staying out of it.
Brother Ben, that's what we're talking about Sunday. That's what we're talking about.
They did put a swastika in a Brooklyn playground in a Jewish neighborhood this year. You guys remember that? They did it earlier in April.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
Then rappers from the Beastie Boys was there complaining about it. Almost all the Jews was there. Somebody put swastika in the playground in the Jewish neighborhood. It was earlier April of this year. The alt-white was coming for every race. That was their sign saying that Trump is in the White House. They're going to start to claim back their territory. I got my police reports. I check it all the time. They are making their movement. They feel like if the LGBT can do it, they're going to do it also. Trump is their
leader. So what's wrong? Well, once again, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with the black community? Why we cannot never stay together compared to LGBT?
We don't have a community. That's plain and simple. We don't have a community.
It seems that the African-American community doesn't have that one unifying or two unifying leaders that can mobilize something that doesn't necessarily forget about threatening other Caucasian people or other communities, but also that doesn't threaten other African Americans, because there are African Americans within the community that are just as frightened of mobilization as other communities. And the reason why is because they stand to potentially lose what little they may already have. And I think that's one of the reasons why you don't see as much mobilization within the African-American community. That's one. Number two, you also have to find out how you're going to lead, what the solutions are going to be, and then, as we've heard before, where the power is going to come from within the structure of how that's going to help people get something going and get mobilized, and when it's going to happen in a way that is going to work and not threaten or make other people feel threatened by it.
Okay, so Matt, are you surprised of everything that's going on so far in the first few months of Donald Trump?
Nope. I knew since last year. It's going to come.
So, yeah, when I told people that I'm happy that this is happening, they attack me without them understanding. Like, the reason why I'm happy this is happening is because this is, we finally see the real racism from other people. Like, Brother B, Matt, K-Dog, Sean, you guys was undercover all this time. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's coming out of the woodworks. Either you're neo-Nazi or a Jew or black or white, whatever. It's like, true colors are coming out from
people. Listen, I can't be a racist. Listen, I can't be a racist. I can't.
Me neither.
What do I have to be racist? What do I have to be a racist about? I don't have no problem with anybody. Like I said, don't get on my nerves and we can have a good day. That's all.
Good.
I don't care about
that. I can agree with that.
The bottom line
I don't care
is
about
this.
Your color.
The bottom line is this, and I gotta say this, and I'm gonna be as brief as possible. I look at if you're cool with me, I'm cool with you. I look at people's character. If you're a good person, I don't care what race you are. I'm not gonna look at race. I'm gonna judge you by who you are as a person. But at the same time, in each race of people, anybody. Be a stupid idiot, no matter what color, no matter what religion you may be, no matter what nationality you may be. At the end of the day, that's my opinion.
K-Dog, you're an asshole just like me, so stop fooling yourself, okay?
That's just wrong.
We're assholes. We're all assholes.
Sean, what's your final thought? Because I have to make a statement after this.
Okay. My final thought is that if we're going to have this conversation of what we're having now, we have to be able to get past the regular old sticking points and get to something where we can move the conversation forward instead of complaining about the same old things of the past. We bring up the past, bring it to a point, and then use that as the launching pad to make these discussions go forward so that some real progress is made, because people like Donald Trump and of his ilk are going to only continue to infect the world as we know it right now.
And of course, I've got another question right now. Do you think white people, do white people think they are not racist, or do you think white people know when they're not racist, but when they really are racist? Somebody does that
That's a good question.
I think ones that are racist know they are. The one there are a section of Caucasian people that may not know that they are, because it hasn't been brought to them, and then that can be discussed, and then they can say, well, I didn't realize that this thought process led to this reaction. This is why, and that does happen.
But what about the video I sent to you guys when that KKK member took his clothes off because, you know, he was scared to death, not to get his ass kicked, and he joined the KKK march or the protest because to him it was fun. And like, how this is fun pretending to be a KKK member?
He's stupid. He was a stupid idiot.
That's the tough guy that's on Facebook and Instagram talking tough, but he just got called out when he started to step out. He thought
that
he was going to get protected, but he's not.
Because he was going to get killed.
Exactly. He was about to get bodied, and he got scared.
Well, on a personal level, let me just say this before we go. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of emotion that's going on right now. We're all losing it to a certain degree. Clive must say this. As a friend, as a brother, as a father, is there anything that's going through your mind? Do you feel depressed or anything like that? Or do you have any suicidal thoughts or anything? We talk about depression and suicide in the show many times. There's always someone to talk to. There's always a hotline, and I'm sure there's always a friend. Despite what's going on in this country, if you feel you hit rock bottom, find someone to talk to. If you want to call this show and vent out to us, I can speak for Sean and I and the rest of the guys. We're here to talk. We're here to help. We're here to tell what's on our mind. We're here to tell like it is. So don't never ever think there's no one there to talk to. Don't never ever think you hit rock bottom. Because trust me, I can speak for all of us. We all have our problems, but in the end, we find our best way to keep moving. And Brother B and I will just drink our way to our problems. But besides that,
of course,
there's always a solution.
Let me have my
to
shot of Grey Goose.
Cheers, mate.
Exactly.
Cheers.
You know, so I'm just throwing it out there to our friends out there, to our listeners. Don't let what's going on in this world today make you go crazy. There's always a solution. Despite what Donald Trump is doing to us or our politicians, there's other ways to solve our problems. Brother B,
It's only a problem if you look at it like that. It's only a problem if you look at it like that.
So, Brother B, the show is this Sunday night. What's your topic? You got a minute left.
Oh, yeah. Sunday night, the menu. Things ain't always what they seem.
Okay.
You're going to take it deep.
Oh, that's this Sunday night at 8:30. So tune in and listen to that on Blog Talk Radio. Matt,
thanks.
Matt Fisher, Brother B, K-Dog, thank you so much. And God bless. Till next time, man. Try to be safe out there because they're out there killing us right now. So you might get run over by a car or something. You know?
My goodness,
man. Oh, God.
Help us all.
Have a good night, everybody.
All right, guys. All right. Have a good night, fellas.
Be safe.
I got Milton X. Milton X wants to say something. You got 60 seconds.
Hey, chickens come home to
49, 48.
That's how
7,
it is. You know what I'm saying? So,
6.
Shit.
5, 4.
Let it burn.
let it burn?
Let it burn.
That sounds more like a Usher deal.
You know what I'm saying?
Usher has his own problems.
America deserves what it gets.
So, but don't you live in this country?
Huh?
Don't you live in the same country? So you want the same country you live in to burn?
Well, yeah, pretty much. that's what America deserves. You know what I'm saying? You built a country off the blood of my people. Yeah, let it burn.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Absolute Truth. Let it burn. Tune in next time.
Let it burn.
Hopefully, we don't come back next week. I like to enjoy my vacation. Okay, son?
Hopefully, if the world is still intact, we'll see you in September. How about that?
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.